Today, we're going to talk about biases, blind spots, and courageous leadership. Again, I'm Matthew Harrison, Vice President of Human Resources for Jackson Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to have with me my good friend, Dara Okeke, who's an employment attorney and also president of Epic Consulting. So Dara, as I said, today we're going to talk about biases and blind spots and courageous leadership.
Yes.
So let's start with bias. What is bias? How would you define it?
So there are different types of bias. There is what's called implicit or unconscious bias, and those are those biases against people of a different race or age or color or disability status that rest in our subconscious beyond our awareness and control, and are often influenced by environmental factors such as our family upbringing, the culture that we came up in, our learning and our schooling, our education, what we see in the media and the news. So implicit biases are those biases that we typically don't even know that we have, mm-hmm. but sometimes our actions can show the bias that we hold down deep. And then there's bias that's a bit more explicit and known and intentional, and often referred to as prejudice, mm-hmm. A feeling that people of a certain group are inferior. Or, you know, sometimes there could be biases towards someone, like, for example, the stereotype that, you know, Asians are really good at math. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's seen as complimentary, that's mm-hmm. still an inappropriate bias or stereotype about a large group of people that's not necessarily based in fact.
Yep. So what are some ways that biases show up in the workplace?
Many ways, you know, from the start of employment to the end, mm-hmm. we see bias show up in recruitment and hiring. For yep. example, yep. names on a resume. You know, I've done a lot of recruitment work and sat on recruitment committees for the various companies that I've worked for. And it's so interesting to sit in a room full of lawyers and look at resumes.
Yep.
And, you know, when that Shekinah comes up, versus Beth.
Yep.
You know, the reactions that people have just to a name, and the resume could be completely the same, the
yep.
same experience, the same skills, great education. But when people see a stereotypically black sounding name mm-hmm. Or a stereotypically white sounding name, they respond differently.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me add, you know, working in human resources and having led talent acquisition for a number of organizations that I've worked for, and even doing work in graduate school around workplace diversity, I know for a fact research has shown, to your point, the importance and how poignant names can be. Mm-hmm. And you know, studies have found that there's a disproportionate number of people with quote unquote black sounding names that will not be given the chance to even interview. And I know from personal experience, having a number of people that I've worked with who have either abbreviated their names or have gone by a middle name that's more European sounding, on their resumes just to be able to even get their foot in the door.
Absolutely.
You know, and I also think about with resumes, you know, a lot of times now people are making a recommendation for folks to just put the city and state that they live
mm-hmm.
in. Because even
geography bias
is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. So, you know, people will maybe automatically conjure up an image of what someone looks like if their address is something MLK Drive
yep.
versus if it's Brooks Mill, you know, Parkway. So
yeah.
that is something, though it seems incredibly subtle,
mm-hmm.
can have such a huge, huge impact.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about any biases that you yourself have dealt with, either personally or in the workplace.
You know, I remember being a junior associate at a law firm on a phone call with a client who I'd never met in person mm-hmm. before. And the client told, or I guess assumed that I was white maybe, and told a racist joke and said the N-word.
Wow.
And I'm just sitting there in shock, like, is this really happening? Like,
yeah.
What do I do? What do I say? You know, I remember often being invited to pitch to potential clients, mm-hmm. not because of my skills and experience and the great work that I did, but because I could be a black face in the room
yep.
To make the potential client think that, you know, we are diverse
yep.
And we value diversity. And so it's things like that are a bit more subtle,
mm-hmm.
But they really take a toll. And, you know, I like to call things like that microaggressions.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically they're small and subtle acts of bias and discrimination
mm-hmm.
That are typically kind of a one-off incident,
mm-hmm.
Are usually unintentional. Usually the person who's committing the microaggression doesn't even know it.
Yep.
But they definitely build up over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, having a lifetime's worth of microaggressions against you, whether it's in your personal life or in the workplace, it's really difficult. And it starts to weigh on how you value and feel about yourself. No. You know, as a young lawyer, I had what was called imposter syndrome, where, you know, I had great education, went to the best schools, graduated cum laude from law school, but still felt like, well, do I really belong? Like, mm-hmm. am I a fraud? Are people going to find me out and realize I'm not qualified mm-hmm. to do mm-hmm. this or to be here? Just that constant fear that you're not good enough, because you kind of been told over and over again, both explicitly and impliedly, that you're not. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's something that a lot of, you know, Black people in the workplace struggle with, mm-hmm. trying to overcome that imposter syndrome and really accept our rightful place as leaders and as doers and changers of this world. Yeah. But it all stems from that bias that we talked about, and really understanding that we all have it.
Yep.
You know, we all have our own biases. You know, also when it comes to mentoring and professional development in the workplace, yeah. you know, we as human beings gravitate towards sameness.
Yep.
You know, we're much more comfortable with people who look like us and who went to the same college and were members of the same fraternity or sorority. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so sometimes our bias can show up and those people that we gravitate towards at work, the, mm-hmm. the people that we're willing to give more projects to, or the people that we want to take out to lunch to get to know them better.
Yeah.
We're often biased towards sameness and biased towards people that are like us. Yeah. And so that can really be problematic for, you know, those that are left out and yeah. that aren't felt, they don't feel that they're as included. You know, I've got what they call the beauty bias, because I'm just, you know, that's the thing, right?
I didn't.
So gorgeous. I'm just kidding. But there are all kinds of bias in the world. And I think, you know, we all have them. And the more that we can acknowledge that they exist and really do the deep work of identifying them within ourselves, the more change we can create in our workspaces.
No, absolutely. When you were talking about microaggressions, it made me think about in my own career, how many times I've been told by colleagues, wow, you're so articulate.
Oh, and gosh, yeah,
you got it too. And yeah. I know I'm 99%, if not 100% of the time, I'm sure it was intended as a compliment.
Yeah.
But I don't think people think about what, as a person of color, you think like, well, would you not expect me to be articulate? Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly to your point with microaggressions. And as you were talking about imposter syndrome, it made me think of some of the work I did when I was in graduate school for my dissertation. Mm-hmm. On the topic of affirmative action stigma. And so I think with affirmative action being a policy that is in place, you know, in a number of organizations in America, yeah. and people not really having a clear understanding of what affirmative action is really supposed to be. And so I actually did my dissertation on, you know, women and people of color who are in management positions, mm-hmm. who feel an added layer of stress and pressure, and somewhat kind of related to that imposter syndrome of not feeling good enough,
yeah.
and feeling that other people don't think that they're good enough and that they're in that role just because of their minority status, not because of their actual credibility or competence.
Yeah.
And it's a real thing. And I think the thing that's really interesting and that people really need to consider is that a lot of times these people of color and women often are in these management positions for the first time. They're often a token, being the only one of their race or gender in that role. And so it adds a lot of stress for them to feel the need to produce and be effective.
Absolutely.
Many of them feel like, you know, whether or not they're successful is going to be why or why not someone who looks like them
yep.
will be able to follow them in that same position.
Absolutely.
It's so hard that there's actually a phenomenon called John Henryism that a lot of people of color have in the workplace. And it's related to that whole thing of feeling the need to almost overwork, that whole being mm-hmm. twice as good for half as much,
yeah.
and having to overwork to prove that you are truly credible, but that having huge implications on your levels of stress and just
yeah.
general psychological and physical
yep.
well-being.
Absolutely.
So I want to change gear just a little bit. What's the difference between biases and blind spots?
So they're very similar. You know, a bias is typically a feeling towards another person or a group of people that's often not based in fact, and can either be known and you're cognizant of it, or it can be implicit and part of your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
A blind spot is really just a lack of awareness. It doesn't necessarily have to sprout out of bias, but sometimes it can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's usually ignorance, a lack of awareness, not being thoughtful, not being careful, And those show up and can be just as harmful, honestly, as bias and discrimination in the workplace can.
Got it.
Yeah.
So how can people go about identifying what biases or blind spots that they may have?
So there are actually so many different tests and assessments that people can take. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really well-developed area of psychology and science.
Yep.
There is a nonprofit organization called Project Implicit that was founded out of Harvard University, and they were the first to create the implicit association test, where basically you'll look at a screen, you know, an image will quickly appear of a white person and then an image of a black person. And you have to very quickly respond to that image without having time to really
think about it.
What your response would be. And so there are a series of tests like that you can take. A lot of them are free online. When you take tests about race, you know, your feelings about age, people with disabilities, people with accents, or people from other countries. There are so many different types of implicit association tests. And Project Implicit isn't the only one. I think there are a lot more vendors now who have created different types of tests that you can take to really assess, you know, what are my own hidden biases. And then once you know them, it's time to work on them.
Yeah.
It's time to be very intentional and proactive about counteracting that bias in the moment.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that people try to take the test or find the one that, you know, you think is right for you. But then, you know, that's the easy part. I think the hard part is what you do once you discover what those biases are.
Yeah. Well, and I think you bring up a great point. And I think that's the thing that all of us have to remember is that as human beings, we are naturally wired cognitively to be biased.
Yeah.
It's a part of kind of just being safe, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been kind of one of the things that can sometimes be a detriment with the work around diversity, equity, and inclusion, because no one wants to admit that they have biases.
No one wants to admit it.
No one wants to.
It's like, come on, people.
We're
all biased.
We're all biased. We're all biased.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we have to accept it, acknowledge it, know it.
Yeah.
But to your point, once we do know it, do something about it and try to be more active and not having those behaviors, you know, steer our decisions around hiring, around promoting, around salary, and things of that
nature.
Exactly.
I think that's a key point that you make there. And it's something that is always driven home in the work that I do as an employment lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I always, when I'm giving trainings to people about equal employment opportunity and anti-discrimination and harassment under the law, what I explain to the people is, I'm not here to change hearts and minds.
Yep, yep.
I'm here to change actions and behaviors
because
that's what results in discrimination.
Yep.
You know, you can be just as prejudiced and racist as you want to be, but if you don't act out on that, then there's no violation of the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's once kind of your feelings and your attitudes and your perspective are transformed into action against people or decisions that you're making against people, that's when we have harm.
Yep.
And so I think that's really important to understand is that you're not a bad person because you have biases.
Yep.
We all do. What makes you bad
is when you act out on
is
them.
Is when you act out on those biases to the detriment of other people.
Yeah. How would you say biases and blind spots and all that tie into courageous leadership?
So I think the courageous part is what we just talked about. It's not only accepting that you have biases, identifying what they are, it's really taking the time to check yourself before you make a move, before you make a decision, before you speak to someone. Check your bias. You know, acknowledge that it exists. You know, if you know you took that IAT assessment and you know that you may have biases against people of a certain background, before you engage with them, before you as a people manager make decisions about their employment or their pay or their promotion or terminating them or performance managing them, think about that bias and think to yourself, okay, if I didn't have this bias, would I still take the same action?
Yeah.
Am I being fair? Am I being objective? Am I focusing on the facts and not this person's background or whatever it is about them personally that I don't like? I think when we take that time to be thoughtful to skip a beat and to check ourselves, that's how we start to counteract the bias. You can't eliminate it. You can't delete it. Mm-hmm. It's there. And sometimes you can kind of lessen mm-hmm. your implicit bias over time with practice. But to an extent, there will always be some form of bias there. But I think the really important thing is to understand that and to always make it a practice, make it a habit to check your biases before you act.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think actually another piece of courageous leadership is us being comfortable pointing out when we see that happen in other people.
Absolutely.
You know, having worked in human resources for over a decade now, I know myself, I've seen instances where in like a talent review calibration, where adjectives that are used to describe a white male, you know, he's direct, he's to the point. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes later, we'll be talking about a person of color or a female, exact same adjectives will be used, but will take on completely different mm-hmm. and much more negative connotation.
Yeah.
And I will say, I have certainly, you know, stood in the gap and spoken up in those times to be like, you do realize that the exact same things that you're saying now were used in a positive light.
Yeah.
And I will say, not every time, but most of the time, it was really a teachable and learning moment for that individual because yeah. they
didn't even
realize that that's what they were doing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, awesome. So, Derek, can you share with our listeners, you know, these are executives, presidents, and CEOs. What should be the tactic or approach that they should take in terms of addressing their own biases in the workplace? Should they, you know, share with their employees that they hold them? You know, how do they approach this given the level that they are in their organization?
I think it depends on how bold they want to be
yeah.
and how courageous. You know, I think there are many different approaches that you can take. Certainly, you know, every CEO doesn't have to take an implicit association test and post the results
yep.
in the lunchroom. but I certainly do think that there is a way to honor and acknowledge for your employees that these biases exist,
yeah.
that you recognize as a leader that they exist, and that you want to do everything in your power to counteract them, to make sure that you have an equitable and inclusive workplace.
Mm-hmm.
That can be done with an announcement to employees. It can be done with an email talking to employees about how much time you've spent educating yourself and working on your own biases and making sure that your leadership team does the same. It could be done with a reading group or a book club with your important leaders around these issues, making sure that everyone's getting the education that they need to have the tools necessary to deal with these issues head on. Listening sessions with your employees to really talk about how they're experiencing bias in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, what most employees want is to know that their employer cares.
Yep.
Their employer is listening and wants what's best for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, employees are smart.
Yep.
So they know that we have bias
yep.
just because we're leaders and, you know, we're in positions of power. You know, that doesn't make us perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we as the leaders can acknowledge that,
mm-hmm.
And really speak to it in an honest and a thoughtful way,
mm-hmm.
that's going to make all of the difference for your staff and employees.
No, totally agree with you. You know, in years of having done employee engagement surveys, I think the thing that most employees respond most to is knowing that they're working for a leader that's genuine and authentic. And
yes.
I think to your point, like we've said, we all have these biases. We all hopefully can get to a place where we can address that. And I think for a company president or CEO to be able to do that, ultimately what they do is create the environment in a space where then hopefully their employees know that they can do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Well, like we did in the last episode, I want us to, you know, summarize for our listeners, you know, what are some key things that they can study, see, and share as it relates to bias, blind spots, and courageous leadership?
Awesome. So for study, for part two,
mm-hmm.
There is a really great book that came out within the last year by Bari Williams called Diversity in the Workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, she does interviews with various people about their experiences as others
gotcha.
At work. So race, disability, transgender status, you know, interviews with all types of people and employees, really just talking about their experiences. I think, especially for business leaders, it's important that we delve deep and understand everyone's perspective and where they're coming from
mm-hmm.
And what work is like for different people. So I think it's an awesome book, highly recommend it. So that's our study.
Mm-hmm.
For C, we have a really great movie that I'm sure many people have already watched, but it doesn't hurt to hit it again. It's called Crash, which is a really good dramatic film all about racial tensions and bias that I think would be super informative for anyone. And then for our share, this is our kind of stepping outside of that comfort zone. I think it would be really inspiring for our listeners to find a trusted person. So someone you really trust, because it has to be a no judgment zone, and talk to them about what you think your own hidden biases might be. Whether it comes to biases in the workplace, biases out in the world, implicit bias that you might have grown up with or been taught from family members. Like, have a real honest and forthright conversation about yourself and how you think bias might be showing up for you at work. And not only that, but three steps that you can take to try to counteract that bias. I think that would be a great conversation to have, and I hope you guys will do that.
Awesome. Well, I'm gonna add to our C, because I think we have a great movie that we actually showed here at Jackson Healthcare with a number of our associates called Best of Enemies.
Oh, yes.
And so it came out about a year ago, and it really, to me, illustrates how people from two opposing views, it talks about, at the time, a school that's being integrated. Mm-hmm. And obviously one person thinks that that's something that should happen, the other one doesn't. And how the two of them, though having opposing views, can come together. And yeah. I think in a lot of ways it can really highlight for folks that is really all about a conversation, is all about understanding. Again, not necessarily trying to get people to change one another's minds, but at least having respect for the perspective someone else has.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much, Dara, for your time.
Thank you
all for joining us and hearing about differences between bias, blind spots, and how that relates to courageous leadership. Please join us for our part 3, where we'll be talking about the do's and don'ts around racism in corporate America. Thank you.